We're going to learn Daf Yud Beis and Masechtas Ksubis. We're actually going to start from the bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Beis because that's the beginning of the sugya. So we're going to start three lines from the bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Tana Rabbanan. Konsa Risha in Lashem Nisuin. So this woman was once married to, she once just entered into a marriage. The Yeshla Eidim Shalai Nistra. But in this case, there actually is proof with Edim that she never was alone with the husband. Inami Nisra, or she even was with him, but she wasn't with him enough time for there possibly to have been a Biyah. Still, the halacha is, the Braisa says, and then obviously the marriage ended, and now the second husband marries her, presumably thinking that she is a basula because she never spent any time with her first husband. Still, during the second marriage, if it turns out that she's not a basula, he has nothing to say. He can't say that I'm complaining that she's not a basula. Why? Because indeed she was married to the first guy. And there, as Rashi says, and therefore you should have to assume that that there was a biyah. Even if there wasn't enough time, still that's the assumption that you have to go into the marriage with. So, now on the top of Yud Beis Amud Aleph, the Gemara says, Omer Rabbah Zloy Semeres, Konsa Becheskas Besula. So Rabbah says that if you expected her to be a Besula, and Imtzas Be'ula, and it turns out that she really was not a Besula anymore, she was a Be'ula, Yesh Lo Ksuba Mana. She still gets the Mana. Meaning, it's not considered a Mekach Tois, because even when he's saying, like here in this case, I had witnesses that she's supposed to be a basula and she wasn't, and still we say it's a valid marriage. He has no complaint. Now, of course, in reality, she'll only get 100 instead of 200 because the facts are that she was not a basula. So she does not have the right to claim that she has the value of a basula if in reality she wasn't. However, we still get, but the chiddush of that Rab is saying is that we see that it's not considered a mekach tois. His expectations are shattered. It's not considered a mekach tois. So that means we should be able to extrapolate from that every case where just because I thought she was a basula and it turns out she's not, I should still say it's not a mekach tois. That's what Rabbah wants to say. Comes along Ravashi Omar, Ba'almo lo ilamayim l'chol lesla klal. Really, under normal circumstances, if you marry a regular pnuya, a regular girl, and you expected her to be a basula and she wasn't, that's a mekach tois. She doesn't get anything. However, this case is a little bit different. Shaharei konsa rishoy, because she was in fact really married. Now, I understand that there wasn't enough time, and it certainly set your expectations. But there's also this piece of information and the knowledge of the fact that she was already married. That should be good enough to make it no longer a mekach tois. So Rav Ashi says, it depends on the case. It depends. Even if she was married, that changes the whole situation. Here, a regular girl, you have a right to say I had an expectation, but by a married woman, even if she couldn't have been with her husband, we still say you don't have the right to have that expectation. Now the Gemara says, so it sounds like we're saying in any case, by the fact that you have no tainus basulim, there is no point in you coming to Bezdin, because Bezdin will say, sorry, she was a married woman already, of course there's not going to be basulim. So, but the problem is, the reason why you come to Bezdin is actually to be mevarer, to find out, to clarify whether or not something happened. But by saying that there is no tainus basulim, essentially you're setting yourself up to say, don't even bother coming to Bezdin. So nobody's going to come to Bezdin, but maybe in fact the case is that she was Mizana during the second marriage, or as Tosfos points out, even during the first marriage would be the same problem, because if she was Mizana during the first marriage, she's also just as Usser, certainly to a Kayin, but she's definitely Usser, and that's something that Bezdin needs to clarify. So why over here aren't we worried? So Amar Rav Sharavya Kegoyin Shekidish Shubol La'alter. Over here the case is that the Kedushin and the marriage happened right away, one after the other, that there was never enough time. There was never a time when the husband and wife were apart from each other from the time they got engaged till the time that they got married. By the way, that's similar to what we do today, right, where we do the Kedushin under the Chuppah anyway. So everything happens one after the other. There is no time between the Kedushin and the Nisuin. The Ikad Masni Lo Amasni sin. And there are those that learn this whole sugya, the machlekes between Rabbah and Ravashi, based on the Mishnah. Okay? And the Mishnah says something similar, but not quite the same. It says, Besula amana grusha v'chalutza min anasu. And this is, again, a quote from our Mishnah, that you have a girl who is still a besuli even after she was married before. And it happens to be we're talking about a case in amana grusha also. So the halacha is ksubasan mana. They get a ksuba of 100. Why? Because they were married once before. However, here's the point. Vein lahem tainas besulin. And then the second husband cannot claim that they cannot claim that I expected her to be a besula. Now, this includes besula min anasu in hecha mishkachasla. This includes one of the cases of the Mishnah is that she is still a besula after the first marriage. So how do you have a case where she's still a besula after the first marriage? Kegoin shenichnas al chuppah v'lo nivla. Must be the same thing happened, that she went under the chuppah, but they never had a chance. There was never a bia between the two. Oh, so we see once again, we're talking about a case where there was no bia in the first marriage, but even so, the expectation is that perhaps, because we don't know, perhaps there's something did happen. And therefore, the halacha is that creates the expectation for the second husband. Even though the second husband thinks that, hey, listen, she's still a basula. I was told she was a basula. Nothing happened in the first marriage. So comes along Rav. Again, same sugi as we saw before. Amar Rav, Zoysay Meres, Konsa Becheskas Basula, Venimsas Ba'ula. You thought that she had a chazaka. You thought that she was a basula, and it turns out that she really was a Ba'ula. We see that she still gets 100, because that is the din of our Mishnah, that the second marriage gets 100. So therefore, Rabbi wants to say that should be true for every case where I thought she was a basula, a regular girl, even a regular girl, I thought she was a basula, and it turns out that she's a bu'ula, she should still get 100. So that becomes Rabbi, and Rabbi holds this way. It's not like Rabbah's making a suggestion. That's how Rabbah would paskin. Rabbah would say, no, but what do we see is that you can never set that expectation. You always still get the 100. It's never really a mekachtos. And Ravashi argues, and Ravashi Omar, no, really, in a regular girl, but she's never been married before, and she was supposed to be a basula, and she's not, that's a mekachtos, she gets nothing. And over here, it's different. Over here, she was married once before. Once she was married once before, it totally changes what your expectations should be, and therefore you cannot claim that it's a mekach tois. So the Gemara asked the same question as before. Fine. I get it that you can't really make a claim. However, you should still encourage him to come to Bezin, because there's a possibility that she was mezana during the engagement. Why are we saying Ein lo tainas besulin? That expression, he has no complaints, means we encourage him not to come to Bezin, because what's the point? But there is a point, because if he thought she was a basula, something clearly happened to make her a ba'ula, why aren't we choshesh that what happened was during their engagement, and she'd be awesome. So why don't we want Bezin to find out? I'm a Rav Shravia, so once again, Rav Shravia answers, go and she gives us a ball of altar. That the case over here in our Mishnah is that there was no interruption, there was no time break between the getting engaged and the marriage. Since there's no time, so therefore, there's nothing for him to say. There's no issue for Bezin to be Mavar, because there was no time when she could possibly have done something wrong. So there's no point in coming to Bezin, and therefore now it's just a matter of dollars and cents. Is it a Mekach Tois or not? Okay, so we have two versions of the same Gemara. One based it on our Mishnah, and the second, that was the second version. And the first version was based on the Braisa that we're talking about, where we actually have Edim, that the husband and wife were never together. So the Gemara says a very simple Diyak. Mandamasila Abraisa. If you learned this Sugya, this whole back and forth between Rava and Ravashi on the Braisa, Kol Shekein Amas Nisin. So if you consider the Braisa not to be a Mekach Tois, even with Edim, I know that she's a Basula, and even so it's not a Mekach Tois. Certainly in the case of the Mishnah, where I didn't actually know, where it was much more like of a rumor and expectation, certainly it's not a Mekach Tois. But the one who learns this whole sugi, the back and forth based on the Mishnah, where it was just sort of an expectation, but no real basis for it. But in the case of the Braisa, where he has Edim, that she is a Basula, Mishum Dematzi Amrla, over there, it is a Mekach Tois. Mishum Dematzi Amrla, Ana Edim Samchli. I relied on the Edim. And the Edim told me that she's a Pasula. So this is what I wanted. This is what I bargained for. This is what I was trying to get. And you're not that. So therefore, I have a right to Taina that it's a Mekach Tois, and I'm going to get, and I get nothing. So Rabba, in other words, if you hold that Rabba made his statement that you still get 100, in the case of the Mishnah, that's because in the case of the Mishnah, you sort of suspect that maybe she wasn't really a Basula. But in the case of the Brisa, where you have two witnesses knocking on my door and saying, she is a Basula, we could tell you for a fact she was never with that first husband. There, even Rabba will admit, if you learn this version, even Rabba will admit that it's a Mekach Tois. She's supposed to be a Basula. I have a sign. It says, you know, I have Edim that say that she's a Basula, and she's not. That's clear indication that it's a Mekach Tois. Zok the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah we've quoted earlier in the Masechta. And so here's the Mishnah itself. So a chosin that eats by his father-in-law in the area of Eretz Yisrael called Yehuda. Now this is talking about during the engagement. Shaloi be'edim. And there are no edim about whether or not what the chasen and kala did. Eni yachalito and tanis besulim. Then in that case, by the time they get married, they can no longer claim that she expected her to be a besula. Mepneshim es yachtim ima. Because in Yehuda, they had the minug, they had the practice of letting the chasen and kala be together. So, since that is what they normally do, and that's what we expect them to do, so then he can't wake up after the chasen and say, hey, how come she's not a basula? Because, of course, even if we don't know for a fact that they were together, we kind of assume, because that's the minig, that they were, in fact, together. That's the Mishnah. So now the Gemara makes a very interesting deal. Midik tani ho'oichel. By the fact that it says, if they did eat together, nichlal de'ikaduch tobi yehudanami de'loyachol. So that means there are some that don't. By the fact that it doesn't say when they did it, it says if they did it. So if you're putting it as an if, that means sometimes yes, sometimes no. So we see that not everybody in Yehuda had this minig. So Abaye shmamino. So Abaye makes this deal. He says, from here we see, b'yehudanami mekaymes mekaymes yesh. Even in Yehuda itself, even within the area, the region of Yehuda, some chasen and kala stayed together, some didn't. Kedetanya, like we learned in the Brisa, that as Rashi says, that there are some places yes, some places no. Not necessarily even in Yehuda. In general, even when you have a minig, it could be within a region that some people did the minig and some people didn't do the minig. Kedetanya, we learned in the Brisa. So, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda taught us, be Yehuda in the area of Yehuda, that they used to put the chasen and kala together, even before they got married, a little bit before the chasana, so that the chasen and kala should be friendly with each other, so that it was a very comfortable chasana. That's what they used to do. So they again. So that was the famous minhag that we're quoting. But in Galil, they did not put the chasen and kala together. They stayed separate the entire engagement. Then the Brisa continues with the second case. Yehuda, also in Yehuda, they had another minig. That they used to put two, I don't know what they call them, bridesmaids or the groom. They used to put them two attendants for the echad loy ve echad lo. One used to take care of the chasen, one took care of the kala. Kidei the mashmesh as a chasen ve as a kala, in order to serve the chasen and the kala. B'shas knisasan luchupa, when they got married. Now this is talking about that the chasen's friends would make sure that the kala didn't sneak in a sheet that already had dam on it. And the kala's friends would sneak in, would make sure that she didn't switch a new sheet that, you know, so that the evidence of what sheet they used by the chasana, that is definitely, that nobody's switching anything. Yeah. I don't know. Uba Galil lo yoisakein. Now, and in Galil they didn't do that. Now, I want to just stop here for a second, because this is the part of the Brisa that is the proof. Because the first case, if you're thinking about this logically, these two lines in the Brisa contradict each other. On the one hand, it says that they used to put the chasen and kala together. Yeah, so and then on the other hand, it says that in Yehuda, they used to have these attendants to make sure that they didn't, to check the sheet after the chasen. Now, if they were already together during the engagement, what would be the point of checking the sheets or guarding the sheets during after the chasen? Must be, this is the point that the Gemara is trying to prove, must be that in Yehuda, there obviously was a need for this protection on the Chasana night. Must be that in Yehuda they didn't necessarily get together during the engagement. That's the proof that some that Mekaymus Mekaymus Yesh. And then the Braisa finishes off the last point. That the attendants used to sleep in the same house as the Chasan and Kalo. And in Galil they didn't do this. Again, this really connects to that the attendants should be right there on the spot to make sure that there's no trickery going on.
Doing the
either side could do the trickery. It could be the chosin could switch out the sheet so that there's no dam on it, and the kala could bring a new sheet so that there is dam on it. Either one of them could bring a new sheet. Bryce concludes and says, "V'chol shenoy loy nohag k'minig hazeh." And if you don't do like your minig, any yachal liton tainus basulim, then you're not able to complain that she's whether or not she's a basulim. Okay, that's a statement that the Bryce makes. So the problem was, ahai, which case of the Bryce are we talking about that you didn't do the minig and therefore can't complain? Okay, it's, you have to put that together. I didn't do what I was supposed to do, and therefore I cannot complain. I don't have a taina. So, ilema reisha. If you're going on the reisha case was that the chosan and kala are together. So, kol shenoeg mi boile. So it's the opposite. If I put the chosan and kala together during the engagement, of course I don't have a complaint. So not doing the minig should make me have a tainus pasula. So it should say, if I did do the minig mi boile. That's what it should have said to, in order for the brisa to make sense. Okay, so it's not going on the first case of the brisa. Ela seif. It's going on the second case of the brisa where they used to protect the chosan and kala. They used to have the attendants. So once again, it also uses the wrong expression. It says, kol shaloi mushmash mi boile. What it should have said is, whoever was not protected should not have a tainus basulim. Because again, this is what you were talking about before. What's the main point over here? The main point is we want to protect the sheets because we want to see whether or not there was dam. Who's really more invested in protecting? Really, the kalo side is more protect. It's a bigger issue for her than it is for him. Because for him, if she wasn't a basula, he could decide yes or no. For her, if she's not a basula, it's out of her control. So it's really it's not her necessarily, but her father, because it's her father's reputation, but her father is the one who should be setting this up. So what it should say is that the father should be protecting her. And if he didn't do the minig, then he can't tain a tainus basulim. If the father of the kala didn't protect her, so now there's a possibility that the chosin pulled the shtick and he switched the sheets because the father wasn't there to watch. So there's a so then you could say, oh, so you can't tain a tainus basulim. In other words, if you had free reign over deciding which sheet you're going to present to Beis Din, so how could Beis Din trust and know that you're presenting the correct sheet? So that's what it should say in the Braisa. Kol shaloi mushmush. If he wasn't guarded, if nobody was watching what the chosim was doing, then you can't say tainus basulim. Because then we have no idea whether he's presenting the correct sheets. That would make sense. By the fact that it doesn't say that so again, the sentence of kol shaloi noeg doesn't make any sense anymore. It's the opposite. It should say kol shaloi mushmush. So Abaya, this is classic Abaya and Rava. Omar Abaya lo oilam areisha. Let's go back on the first case where they had the minig of being together during the engagement. V'tani kol shenoeg. So just change the girsa of the brisa and say if you did like Galil, then you don't have a tain anymore. Okay, Abaya likes to do that. Abaya likes to make it all work out. So Omar lo Rava, and Rava in his classic way says v'ha kol shaloi noeg katani. What are you talking about? You can't just change the girsa to make it say what you want to say. We have a girsa. We know the girsa is that they did. If you didn't do what you're supposed to do. So there must be an explanation in this brisa when you didn't do what you were supposed to do and still you have no complaints. So, Elo Amar Rava, so Rava says, here's the explanation. Achika Omar. The way to read the brisa is like this. Kol shaloi noag minag Galil b'Galil. If you didn't do what most people in Galil do, but rather Elaminig Yehuda b'Galil, but rather you did like what they generally do in Yehuda and Galil. In other words, he changes what we were the whole look of what we were discussing. We thought until now the focus was in Yehuda, and in Yehuda everybody, the Chosin and Kala, were together. So we kind of just sort of left it alone that in Galil obviously they weren't together. But what we're saying is, if in Galil, again, Galil means that they're separate. If in Galil you didn't do what you were supposed to do, which means you got yourself in trouble, you did the Chosin and Kala together, so then you cannot have tina, any yachalit and tina spesulim. Why? Because then the chasen and kala were together. It's very simple. It's just, what Rav is saying is, Rav is sort of manipulating the Braisa a little bit. Because the Braisa's focus is on Yehuda. The Braisa's focus is on what they did in Yehuda. So kol shel loy nohag is, you're sort of changing and saying, let's switch the focus to Galil and say, if you didn't do in Galil what you were supposed to do, but rather you did back like what they did in Yehuda, which is chasen and kala together. So then also you have no tainus pesulim, again, for the simple reason, because the chasen and kala were together. And lastly, the Gemara says, which is very interesting, Ravashi Omar lo oy lo ma seifo. We are going on the seifo. I don't want to change the girsa so much. Vitani kol shaloi mushmush. Just change the girsa a little bit. It's definitely what you didn't do. But instead of saying the word kol shaloi nohag, but rather change the girsa kol shaloi mushmush, whoever didn't, wasn't protected, then in that case he can't complain anymore, because you don't know whether the chosin switched the sheets, so you don't know whether or not it's really are the sheets that they used on the night of the chasana. Okay, that takes us to the end of that piece of the Gemara. Go to the next Mishnah. A new thing. Achas almonos Yisroel v'achas almonos kohanim ksuboson mono. Whether or not you have a divorced, or in this case an almana that her husband died, whether she's been through a marriage with a kohen, or whether she's actually, the way Rashi learns it, whether she herself is a bas Yisrael or she herself is a bas kohen, she comes from a family of kohanim or a family of Yisraelim, by the second marriage she only gets 100. However, the Gemara then was mechadesh, or the Mishnah rather, bezin shel kohanim haya gvoyin lebesula arba meyas zuz. The kohanim decided that their girls, their first marriage, they deserve 400. Not the standard 200, but rather 400. The Chachamim didn't complain. They said, oh, you're a Bas Kohen, no problem. You get 200 zuz. That's the Mishnah. Problem is, the Gemara right away introduces a contradiction. Tano, we learned, the Almanas Kohanim Ksubasan Masayim. Our Mishnah just said it doesn't matter whether she's a Bas Kohen or Bas Yisrael. The second marriage always gets 100. And here we have a Braisa that says, no, if she's a Bas Kohen, she gets 200. So, it's a sirva, not tanan, but we learned in our Mishnah, achaz almanu Yisrael, achaz almanu skayanim, tzubas and manu. They're only supposed to get 100. So that's a straight out contradiction. 100 versus 200. So Amar Ravashi, Ravashi says a very interesting, shtei takanois hayu havei. There were throughout history, they were set up in a different way. There were two periods of time in history. Mei kara tiknu lebesula arba mea zuz, ula almanu manu. Originally the way it was set up, and now this is talking about from the Kohanim's perspective. From the Kohanim's perspective, it was set up that their girls, their single girls got $400, 400 zuz, and the Almana got 100 just like everybody else, like the way our Mishnah says it. That's the way it was originally set up. Now on the top of Yud Beis Amud Beis, Kivon dechozu demezalzulu behu. Once they saw that people were not taking the almanas seriously, now Rashi learns they weren't taking them seriously, meaning that people would say, an almana is only 100, I could easily divorce her. Even though a regular almana also has 100, and that was, but still, for the kohanim it was a bigger deal, it was too easy for them to get divorced for 100. Tosfos learns, mezalzali bahu means that they weren't really marrying them that often. They weren't really taking the girls seriously. That's how Tosfos learns, mezalzali bahu. In any event, let's read the words of the Gemara. Since they saw that the Kohanim saw that they were treating the girls differently, the Almanas differently, so they said, well, we don't want our Almanas to be mistreated, so they also deserve 200 as a level of Chashivus. They also deserve 200 Zuz. However, it backfired. Since they saw that nobody was marrying them at all, the way Tosfos learns, with a simple reading that people were staying away from them. Instead of marrying, once I can marry an almanos kohanim, it's going to cost me 200. Nezul v'nezul besula bas Yisrael. I might as well get a besula for 200. I might as well get a besula, even though she's a bas Yisrael, but at least, I'm getting a besula out of it. So adrinu v'milsayu, so they decided, you know what, that was the worst of two evils, because now they weren't getting married at all. So in the beginning, maybe it wasn't a great situation, but at least they were getting married. Now, no one's interested in them at all. They cost too much. So the Kohanim realized that they had to reduce the almonos, even the almonos had to be reduced back to 100. And that's why our Mishnah says that it doesn't matter whether a Bas Yisrael or a Bas Kohen, either way, as an almona, they're only going to get 100 zuz. So based on that, the Gemara now says, again, Bezdin Shel Kohanim, that they made a special value, the Kohanim for themselves, for the Kohan families, they made a special value that they're worth more, so therefore they were able to collect more as the minig of 400 zuz for the girls. So the Gemara says something very interesting now. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Loi Bezdin Shel Kohanim Bovad Amru. This wasn't only done by the Kohanim, Ella afilu mishpachas hamiyuchosos biYisrael, but any very important family in Klal Yisrael, imratzu lasos kederech shakohanim oisin, if they want to do the same thing and set up a rule for their girls, the way the Kohanim set up a rule for their girls, oisin, they're able to do it. So anybody who's you know, of stature is able to say, for my daughter, I just want to let you know, standard for us is 400. That's our standard. So the Rishonim, by the way, do point out that you have to at least be miyuchas. You have to have something. You can't just decide, go out in the market and just because you announce, hey, by the way, I'm making my daughter worth 400. That doesn't work. There has to be something intrinsic value of the family or something that they can say, you know, an aristocrat or something. They have to be able to say that we're worth 400, but the point is that that's what they used to do. They could decide this. However, the Gemara says, Meisvei. The Gemara says, that's not so simple. I have a contradiction. If somebody wants to do the same thing the Kohanim does, which is, Kegoin, Bas Yisrael Lekohen, Ubas Kohen Liyisrael, whether it's a Bas Kohen marrying out, or even a regular Bas Yisrael marrying into the Kohen family, Oisin, they're able to do that. Okay, that's what this Brisa says. So the Gemara wants to make a diak like this. Bas Yisrael Lekohen, Ubas Kohen Liyisrael, it's only marrying into Kahuna or from Kahuna. Who the ikat sad Kahuna? That's where, if it involves the Kohanim in one way or another, either in or out of the family. Avabas Yisrael Yisrael Loi. But if you're just a regular Yisrael, and you happen to be a very fancy Yisrael, but you're just a regular Yisrael, there's no concept of this, according to the Braisa anyway, there's no such thing as, I could decide I want to be worth more. That's not anywhere in the book. So we see that it contradicts Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel that says anybody can get together and decide this. So Rabbi Yehuda, so his answer will be like this. Loi mi boika Amar. I don't even need to say this. Of course, in other words, really I'm right. And the Brice is talking about Kohanim because of the following. Loi mi boi Bas Yisrael Yisrael. In a case where Bas Yisrael is marrying another Yisrael. De loi motzi armalei aluya kamali nalach. Where there is nobody even saying, hey listen, you're moving up in this world. You're moving into the Kohanim world. Abu Bas Yisrael lekohen de motzi armalei aluya kamali nalach. But where you're a Bas Yisrael going into the Kohanim family. And he's able to say, why should I pay you more for the advantage of being part of my Choshava family? Why should I pay you more? So Emaloy, that was the Chiddush of the Braisa. You would say in that case, they can't insist that their Bas Yisrael daughter get more, because the Kayan could always say, why am I paying you more? You're joining me.
Right.
You're coming into my chashivas, so I shouldn't have to pay you more. Kamash Malon, that was the chiddush of the Braisa. The chiddush of the Braisa was that a Bas Yisrael could demand more, even marrying into a Kohen family. Even in that case, she can demand more. And of course, if they're not going into a Kohen family, we're going into a regular family, and I'm the chashiv one, relatively speaking, for sure I could demand more.
Bas Yisrael, Yisrael can't demand.
No, so that's the chiddush. Bas Yisrael, Yisrael could. That's Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel's halacha. That he could. That the chiddush was that, right, the Brisa's chiddush was that even a Bas Yisrael to a Kohen, that the Bas Yisrael could demand more from the Kohen. Because even though the Kohen says, why am I paying you more? I'm the choshev one.
From asking without any
kohen. Certainly he's able to, kol shekein, you're able to demand the Bas Yisrael, Yisrael, where I am starting at the choshev one, that I could demand the 400 tos. Zuck the next Mishnah, a whole new sugya. This next Mishnah is going to be the beginning of a sugya for the next couple of blot. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says like this, Hanoisei es ha'isha, v'loi matzo la basulim. So this actually does tie into what we've said before. He marries a woman, it turns out she's not a basula. Now what happened? He I marries Mishra Sanina Nasti. So again, we actually quoted this Mishnah before. She says, well, everything happened after we got engaged. In other words, when we got engaged, I was that woman that you expected her to be. And afterwards, something, you know, there was an oinus afterwards. Venestachbus Sadehu, and your field got ruined because it's your mazel. Now that I'm married to you, it's your mazel and it's your loss. So I don't lose out anything because of the fact that it happened after we were engaged. V'hu aymer, and he says, what are you talking about? Loiki, that's not true. Ela atchalay arastich. You, it all happened before we even got engaged. So that means when we got engaged, you lied to me. And therefore, it's a mekach tois. So it's a very classic machlekes. She's saying, no, it was true then. He's saying it wasn't even true then. So, machlekes, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer, Oimrim, Ne'emenes. Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer say, because she knows what happened, so she's going to be believed. And Rashi says, Nahavam, you know, the Gemara is going to just peg this as a regular Bari Vashema. That's the sugi we're going to get into. Bari Vashema means Bari. I know what happened, and you are a Shema. You don't know, maybe. So how could you, why would you take the side of the Shema when one person was there and they know what happened? They become the more believable source. She's saying, I know, she's not right. She's not denying the fact that she's a ba'ula, but she's denying the fact that you know what happened. I know what happened. What happened was, it was after we were engaged, so I don't lose anything. However, Rabbi Yeshua argues, we don't base our lives based on what she has to say. Rather, we say, well, now that we know that she's a ba'ula, she has been a ba'ula all along. And she tricked him. And that's what we're going to assume. Until she brings a proof to her words, until she's able to prove her version of the story that's not what happened. Otherwise, we don't have to listen to what she says. We're going to just assume that this is the way it's been all along. Okay, that's the Mishnah. Itmar. But we learned in our Mishnah like this. Manali biyodcho. So this is a similar but different case. Manali biyodcho. I say that you owe me $100. Bahalo Aimer any day, and the other one says, I don't remember. I don't remember borrowing one way or the other. So Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Huna Amri, they say, Chayev, you have to pay. Because the guy is claiming he knows that you owe the money. Rav Nachman, Rav Yochanan Amri, Potter. Rav Nachman and Rav Yochanan, they both say that you're going to be Potter, you don't, because I have no reason, we'll see in the Gemara is going to explain, but basically, because you don't have proof that I owe you the money, so I don't have to pay. Now, let's explain a little bit more. Rav Huna v'Rav Yehuda Amri Chayiv, they say you're Chayiv to pay Bari B'Shem and Bari Yodif, because the Malveh, the one making the claim, the claimant, he knows what happened. He's saying, I know what happened. So he's always better than the guy who says, I don't know. So one guy knows and one guy doesn't know. We're going to listen to the person who knows. Okay, therefore that's why he's believed. Rav Nachman, Rav Yochanan, Amar Pater, they say you're Pater. Why? Ukim emana b'cheskas mari. Because I have a chazaka. This money is in my wallet. It's mine. It's my money. So there's no reason for you to take your money out. You want to prove it, so prove it. Just because you claim to know more than I know doesn't. That's not proof. So therefore, I have a chazaka that my money is mine until you prove otherwise. So therefore, I get to keep it. Okay. So that's the basic machlekes between, let's call it, Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Nachman. So Abai said to Rabbi Yosef, "Hodur Rav Huna v'Rav Yehuda de Shmuli." This whole business that they say that you're chayev because Bari knows what he's talking about is really similar to Shmuel's halacha. We learned in the Mishnah, so we're going to get to Shmuel in a minute. Let's say you have a woman who, for the first time we meet her, she's pregnant. So we say to her, "Matiba shal uberze." So we ask her, "Where did this child come from? Who's the father?" And she answers, "Me'ish pointed the kohen who." And she says, "It's from this guy, and he's a kohen." A kohen over here doesn't mean necessarily a kohen. It means that he's a kosher. That there's nothing. There's no mamzeris. There's no issues. There's no issues with who the father is. Okay. So we're just going to quote this part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Rabbi Gamliel v'Rabbi Eliezer Oimrim Ne'emanis." Once again, we're going to quote Rabbi Gamliel's shita, and he says that she's believed, since again she was there. She knows what happened. She says he's a good guy. We're going to have to believe her. The Omer Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, this is the point that we're trying to get to. And Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel says, Halachos ka Rabbi Gamliel. We paskin like Rabbi Gamliel. We believe her. So we see the same way we believe her over there, because she knows she's the Bari. So to over here also, by the money, and we're going to say that he knows, so we're going to believe him. The Omar lay Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda le Rabbi Yehuda. And Rav Shmuel actually said to Rabbi Yehuda, he says, "Shinan, a smart one. Amris lan mishmei de Shmuel halacha ka Rabbi Gamliel afper shaynu." And he said, "You should know, by the way, we paskin that also that this is true by the even in the first case. The first case, by the way, is our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is the case where she claims, yeah, I know what happened. I know that it happened after we were married, and therefore I am deservant of the 200 zuz. So even in that case, we're going to paskin like Rabbi Gamliel. So in other words, we always follow that shita that the person who knows, this is what Shmuel is saying anyway, that we always know, if the person who knows what happened, we follow that opinion. So the Gemara says, what is this case? My af barishani says, even, he didn't explain himself. What's af barishani even in that case? So the Gemara says, af agav de ikalameim ukamimani b'cheskas mari, even though you could say, listen, it's my money. The husband says, it's my money. You have to prove to me that I have to pay more money. So I have a chazaka that the money is mine. I should listen, that should win. I'm a Rabbi Gamliel bari adif. Comes along Rabbi Gamliel and says, no, that is proof. I know what happened. The chazaka is only as good as, a chazaka only works when I have a suffix about what happened. So if I don't know what happened, I'll say that it stays based on the information that I have. But if I have contrary information, then the chazaka doesn't override opposite information. So since she knows what happened, it could even override the chazaka. So that's why Rabbi Gamliel says we're going to believe her because she's the bari. Okay, so that's what the Gemara is going to say. That's really based on what Shmuel holds, that bari adif. So comes along the Gemara now says, Lema Rav Yehuda v'Rav Huna d'Amrka Rav Gamliel. So it comes out, okay, it's definitely similar, but let's say they really actually follow the same shitas, that it's the same consistent shitas, that Rav Yehuda and Rav Huna, that we're talking about the money, that the guy who claims knows what happened. D'Amrka Rav Gamliel, they also hold like Rav Gamliel, who says that the girl knows what happened. So maybe they are the same shita, they go lockstep. Rav Nachman, Rav Yochanan, and Amri, Rav Yeshua, and Rav Nachman that say that you're potter, they'll hold like Rav Yeshua that I don't have a right, just because I know better doesn't have a right to make somebody else pay money. So that's what the Gemara wants to say, is the way the division, the shitas divide up, and which would mean that Rav Nachman and Rav Yochanan are not like Rav Gamliel, and therefore not like the halacha. So Amaloch Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman says, I actually could still hold like Rav Gamliel that she is believed, but there's a difference. The cases are very different. Why? Adkan like Amar Rav Gamliel Hasam over there in the case by over there by the woman said Rav Gamliel says she believed El De Ikam Migu, because there's a case of a migu. What is a migu? The migu in concept, again, there's a lot of very subtle ways to explain migu, but migu, simply put, is the concept that if I make a claim and I could have made a better claim, that you should believe my worst claim. Because if I was trying to lie, I would have made the better claim. That's the concept of migu. Again, very very generally put, the Rishonim are very subtle on what exactly how to explain migu, but that's the general concept. The general concept is, believe me for what I'm saying now, because I could have said something different that you would have been either forced to believe or would have been a better taina. Okay, again, that's where you get into the Rishonim. But the point is, so you have to believe what I'm saying now. And here the migu is, I could have said I'm a mukas eitz. Remember, our case in our Mishnah is where she says nasti, where somebody else lived with me, but beinus. I could have said I'm a mukas eitz. And that would also explain perfectly why I'm not a basulu. I could, right? So it's a much better taina. And in fact, it's even better than that, as Rashi adds in, because saying, even if I say Mishra Astani Nasti, if I say that I was raped, so then what I'm doing is I'm making myself usher to a kohen. I'm not usher to this husband, but I do become usher to a kohen, because a kohen is not permitted to marry that type of girl. So I'm even saying a better taina. I'm even saying, so to speak, a worse taina. I could have easily just said mukas eitz and would have solved all the problems, but I didn't say that because that's not the truth. So you have to believe that what I'm saying is the truth. Again, that's the way Taisus is Masber, that you have to believe that this what I'm saying is the truth. So therefore, that's why Rabbi Gamliel says she's believed. Aval hocha, but in our case of the money, my migu iku, what's the migu? I don't remember whether I owe you money, because I could have said what? I could have said, I don't owe you the money. I mean, I don't really have a better way to say that. I don't remember saying, owing you the money. So therefore, there's no migu. That's why in this case, I'm not believed. Because I don't have a migu that backs up and bolsters my taina. That's one version of the Gemara. So it's based on whether there's a migu or not. Ikanami, and as I said, there's much more. The sugya of migu is much, much larger, and I'm just giving a very kind of surface explanation of the way migu works. So, Fine. Inami, there's another way to explain the machlokes between Rabbi Gamliel and Rav Huna. Inami, ad kan lo kam Rabbi Gamliel hasam. Why, when Rabbi Gamliel said, again, in our Mishnah, that she is believed, elada amrinad ukmeya chazoka. That's because she does have a chazoka. Her chazoka was that every girl when she's born is a basula. That's a fact. So a chazoka lasts as long as possible until we have reason to believe that it changed. So when she says, at the time we got engaged, I was still a basula, that's very believable. Because she clearly was a basula at some point, and we try to keep that intact as long as possible. So therefore, at the time she got engaged, she's claiming also that's correct. I was a basula then. Things changed after, at a later date. So a later date is after we got engaged, so it's not a mekach tos. But in the case of the money, my chazaka islay lahai. What is it going to say? Chazaka, I owed you the money. Chazaka, I didn't owe you the money. What does one thing have to do with the other? There is no chazaka about when I started to have the money or when I didn't. The concept of chazaka doesn't apply over here. So therefore, since the chazaka doesn't apply, so therefore the guy is not going to be believed. And the shema is not going to be believed, right? And therefore, we're going to make him pay. Okay, so that's the second explanation. And the Gemara says, so hosam na hachinam mestavra kedumashaninon. It makes sense to say that the Rav Nachman Huda Amar Rav Gamliel, that Rav Nachman ultimately holds like Rav Gamliel, whether you take the first explanation of Migu or the second explanation of Chazoka, but it makes sense to ultimately say that Rav Nachman holds like Rav Gamliel. Why? So now we're going to just read the first three lines on the top of your Gimel Amud Aleph. Deim Kain, Kasha Hilchasa Hilchasa. Because otherwise, if the conclusion is that Rav Nachman argues on Rav Gamliel, we're going to have a problem because of the way we paskin halacha. Why? The Kaima law in Hilchasa Karev Nachman Bedini. Because this is a general rule in Shas. Whenever there's a machlekes between Aman Diyomer and Rav Nachman, we always, in Hilchas Mominis, we always paskin like Rav Nachman. So that means the conclusion over here also has to be that we paskin like Rav Nachman. Ubaha, and in this case, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Halacha Rav Gamliel. And over here, we just said on Amar Beis, on Yer Beis Amar Beis, that we paskin like Rav Gamliel. So now we have and if Rav Nachman and Rav Gamliel don't agree, so then we have a contradiction in how we paskin. You can't paskin like Rav Nachman and paskin like Rav Gamliel unless they hold of each other. Allah Shmamino, Kadav Shmaninon, Shmamino. Must be the way we answered, that really Rav Nachman will say, I really do hold of Rav Gamliel. And Rav Gamliel's case is different because, again, we have two explanations. It's either different because of the Migu, or it's different because of the Chazaka, but it's different. Really, in other words, really in Mamanis, we follow my rules. We follow my rules that the Bari Vashem and Bari Yodif. Really, I have the right to demand that, excuse me, that Rav Nachman says Pater. So, that Rav Nachman says Pater, right? Yeah, they say that you don't have to pay. That really we say the Bari is not Odif. Really we say, just because you know, that's not proof. That's not proof. But the Shema could maybe win. But over here, but in Rabbi Gamliel's case, the reason why the Shema won is because, excuse me, that the reason why she's Naaman is because either she has a Migu or because she has a Chazaka. And therefore, in that manner, it's not a contradiction to Rav Nachman's, to Paskin like Rav Nachman consistently in all the cases. Okay, we'll stop over here.